Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. How did you come by your name? If you have children, how did you come to name them what you did? I know I was named after a great-grandfather. When our kids came along, the boys got middle names of family members, but their first names and Lauren's names we just liked. In fact, I kind of remember, and I'll admit this to you, I remember thinking, one of us said, well, how will it sound when we're upset with them? And so we tested that, and everything sounded good. And so we named them what we did. But names did not really matter. And that is quite different from how people in the Bible got their names. Names mattered. The first son often got named after the father. That's why in the video, the lady said, well, we'll call him Zacharias. No. The name of the child also carried with it destiny, character trait, and sometimes symbolic meaning, because names mattered. This morning, we're going to look at part of the before story of the birth of Christ. We're going to look a little more closely at Zacharias, Elizabeth, and the birth of their son, John. And each of these names matter. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and hold your place as we go along. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. The first name we're going to think about and look at this morning is Zacharias, which means Yah remembers, or God of the covenant remembers. Yah remembers, God of the covenant remembers. Now, if you've got a different translation than the New American Standard, it may be Zechariah, which one was a Hebrew and one was the Aramaic. But hope can be yours because God remembers. The context of their story is during the days of Herod, king of Judea. The dates of Herod's reign were about from about 40 B.C. to 4 B.C., or if I would be politically correct today, it was 40 BCE to 4 BCE. You know why they've changed that? Because BC stands for before Christ. Now they call it before Common Era. So here's the context. For over 400 years, God had seemingly forgotten about his people. There were no prophetic voices speaking to the people. God had been silent. Now, he's going to begin speaking into the lives of the people. Because God remembers. God remembers. For Zacharias personally, it seemed as if God had forgotten him as well. Zacharias was a priest, a good man. He had married Elizabeth, who was of the family of Aaron, who was the daughter of a preacher. So it was a preacher marrying a daughter's preacher. And they had been married a good long while, but no children. Luke makes the comment about them even that they were righteous in the sight of God. They had conditioned or set their lives by God's standard. Fault could not be found in them in terms of how they lived out the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. And you would think, if anybody should have been blessed with children, it should have been Zacharias and Elizabeth. But they hadn't been. And I got to say to you that I think part of how we look at children, think about children, is much different today than the way they looked at them then. It is painful if you desire children not to have children. But back then, you had a child because you needed somebody to do two things for you. One was to help you survive. That's why families had why couples had big families, because they needed the manpower. But it was also the idea, too, that not only did you need them for now, you needed them for when you were old, because who was going to take care of you? There was no such thing as Social Security or anything like that, and there were certainly no rest homes. And so if you didn't have a son or a daughter, then you were left up to maybe extended family or no one. And so here Zacharias and Elizabeth are, quite advanced in years and no children. That's one of two factual errors that I would suggest to the people who put the video together, the skit guys, is that the two that played Zacharias and Elizabeth were much younger looking than what they probably were. And so here they are. They're barren. And that's a word that if you said to someone or about something, it was very drastic. They were barren. They were childless. It seemed to them as if God had forgotten them. And so that was a deep, deep sadness and a stigma attached to their lives. There was something wrong, so it would have seemed. It seemed God had forgotten them. But he had not, for the God of the covenant remembers. How many of us have written something on our hands so that we'd remember it? You may have done it to cheat on a test in school. You know, just kind of down, you know, where you can cover it up. Or maybe you needed a short shopping list, but you had no paper, but your hand was there. The palm is a handy place to remind you of something, pun intended. A handy place. There's a passage in Isaiah 49 where Zion, the mountain of Jerusalem, God's people complained that the Lord had forsaken them. The Lord's reply was, "Can a woman forget her child?" Well, that's highly unlikely. "Even if a woman could," he said, "I will not forget you. I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. I remember." Now, this is my theory, but remember when after Jesus was resurrected and he appears to all the disciples except Thomas? And then he finally comes to Thomas, and Thomas said, "I want to know. I want some proof." Did he ask to see the pierced side? No, he said, "I want to see your hands." It's always been my theory that he knew Isaiah 49, that God had inscribed. He wanted to know if Jesus had inscribed him on the palms of his hands, because he knew God remembers. So as we approach Christmas, does it seem God has forgotten you? Maybe there's an aspect of your life that, if you were to characterize it with one word, that word would be barren. Things are not working out the way we'd hoped. Relationships maybe are not good. Health is deteriorating. Death has struck. All of it has caused you to think, does God remember me? He does. He sure does. There is hope in Christ. God of the covenant remembers. Names matter. The second name, Elizabeth, means my God is good fortune, or my God has sworn an oath. We're going to keep reading chapter 1, verse 8. "Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Hope can be yours because God makes a promise. Zacharias was an old priest of the division of Abijah. King David back had divided the priests into 24 divisions, and each division served twice a year. And then all the festivals and holidays made up the rest of the year. So when it was the division of Abijah's turn to serve, Zacharias was chosen by lot, or by chance, to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense, which would have been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Some estimate that there were some 18,000 to 20,000 priests serving at this time. So just imagine, out of 1,200, 1,500 people, Zacharias gets chosen. He gets chosen. And so he goes in and he's there burning the incense. And something quite unusual happens. An angel appears. He's standing there before the curtain. He's standing there before the curtain which separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And he's standing there, and it's about time for him to go out. He's burning the incense. And the angel appears. And the people are out in the temple. They've been praying, and they're waiting for the priest to come out. And he would close out that time of prayer, and they kept waiting. And they kept waiting. But that visitor, that angel, was there. And the angel had a message. Your petition has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear a son. And that was God's promise. That was his oath. Now, you know, as I do, that didn't automatically happen. And you probably, they began to wonder even, would this really happen? But God had promised. And the child's name was to be John. And he would turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He would be used to prepare the people for the Lord, a forerunner of Christ. Because God had sworn an oath. When I was a kid, I don't know how it was around your neighborhood or where you live, but if someone wanted the truth out of someone or wanted them to promise something, they made the person swear an oath. Something like, cross my heart and hope to die. And if you were the one that was making that oath, making that promise, and you didn't really want to or you wanted to lie, you crossed your fingers. Remember that? Well, God didn't have to cross his heart. And he didn't cross his fingers. Because he doesn't ever lie. Because whatever he promises, he does. So what promises of God are you holding to today? Let me tell you a few that I'm holding to. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My grace is sufficient for you. I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again for you. I like what Paul said, we exult in hope of the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint. So what promises are you holding to today? Names matter. The third name, John, means God is gracious. Let's pick up again in verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they were going to call him Zacharias after his father, but his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished, and at once his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. Hope can be yours because God extends grace. John means God is gracious. There he is, Zacharias in the temple. He's there to burn incense, and the angel appears and makes this promise of a son. And so Zacharias wants more proof, though. He wants more proof to hold on to, and so he asks a question. He's doubting the angel. He knew how old they were. And the angel was Gabriel, and he said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the very presence of God. And God has heard your prayers that you are going to have a baby, but no more talking and no more hearing until the baby is born." And that's the second one, in my opinion, factual error of the video. They portrayed him as being able to hear. Evidently, Zacharias could neither speak nor hear. And so, he goes home. Life goes on. Elizabeth turns up pregnant. 6 months later, they have a visitor, Mary, Elizabeth's cousin. She comes, and lo and behold, she's pregnant, because God is doing a miracle there. And it says that the baby was full of the Holy Spirit, and that when Mary entered the room, that the baby leapt in within her womb. There she is. And so, life goes on again. And the baby, John, is born. And so the people are expecting the child to be named Zacharias after the father. And they go to him and said, "What should the child's name be? They've heard John from Elizabeth, but they want to double check." And so he asks for a tablet. They make signs, and he asks for a tablet, and he says, "John. John's the name. God is gracious. That's what we're going to call him." And so immediately then he could talk. God was gracious to them, for a son had been born. And God was gracious to all people, for this son would be a forerunner of the Messiah. God is gracious. Think for a minute about God being gracious. Think for a minute about grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. God is gracious. Stop for a moment and think about how grace has been shown in your life. Above all things, you're to be thankful for this season. God's grace might ought to be at the top of your list. God is gracious. To close, I want to read what Zacharias said after being given his speech back about his son John. As I read, I want you to listen for some key words such as redemption and salvation and forgiveness. Verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.